Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Power Your Life Radio Show with host and success doc, Joanne White. Author, speaker, and certified coach, Doc White gets to the heart of what matters most. She features guests and experts to help you consciously create more success, health, and well-being in every area of your life, work, and relationships. They'll share their success stories, wisdom, and know-how to shine more light onto your day and into your life. Power your life right now. Here's Joanne White.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Power Your Life, and I'm Dr. Joanne White, and it's a pleasure to be here today, and we're talking about what I consider a very important subject, your health and your food. Do you really know what you're eating? And today we have a special guest who's going to shed light on genetically modified foods. Genetically modified foods, are they safe? Are they harmful? Even though regulatory authorities at this point have approved GMOs that's on the market, many people are concerned that there's a risk and a harm, and we're going to look into that. Many of the foods we eat contain ingredients that are derived from genetically modified organisms, or GMOs, and we're going to take a look at that. If you're living in places like Europe, some of the laws require labeling are much more stringent than what we're having in the United States. So there's got to be a reason why. And here to shed some light on that is a colleague and friend of mine and a kind of crusader in this area who really seems to know her stuff and is here to share and shed some light on this particular controversy and this topic about the danger in our foods, in the genetically modified foods that you're eating, that you may have had for breakfast. So Marilyn Eppolite is an intuitive energy therapist, a GMO speaker, and she's also a graduate of the Barbara Brennan School of Healing, which is a four-year program in energy therapies. Marilyn utilizes many forms of plant therapy, such as flower essences and essential oils, in her healing practice. She's also an organic gardener, creating healthy gourmet meals, and Marilyn is keen on educating people on what they need to know about genetically modified foods. She studied with Jeffrey Smith, who's a leading GMO authority and author and activist. And Marilyn has initiated a local education and activist group called No GMO NJ, and that's where we're located. So I think this is an incredibly important topic, and Marilyn and I had a little bit of discussion before, but we're going to introduce Marilyn to our listeners. Hello, Marilyn. How are you?
Hi. I'm so glad to be sharing with you and everyone today on this timely topic. It was good that you were able to plan this talk for April, being Earth Month, and there's so much talk in the news now about GMOs where it had been quiet for a while. There's a labeling bill going on in New Jersey, and Whole Foods has said that they would label GMOs in their store in another 5 years, and so there's been a lot of talk lately, so...
Why is it important? So firstly, let's shed some light on what's involved in GMOs. I just very briefly touched upon it. But a lot of people, since there isn't any labeling, a lot of people are going to the supermarkets or going to their favorite grocery stores and even their favorite farms and are getting foods that may already be genetically engineered, and they don't know it. So what's involved in it, and... Also, let's look at some of the risks that are involved, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes.
Mm-hmm. Well, basically, when you talk about GMOs, and right now they're trying to use more of the word genetic engineering because it really implies that this was created in a lab. You know, a lot of people forget that, and some of the advocates of GMOs they try and make it sound as if this process has been going along forever, because they put normal farming practices into that category, say like hybridization. So it's really important that people understand that it's genetic engineering created in a lab, how they actually insert DNA fragments, and you're talking cross species. You're talking one species to another, say, for example, a virus into a plant, or a virus into an animal. So this whole process actually utilizes things like viruses and bacteria to, what it does is it actually invades the DNA so that this new gene that they're putting in will actually enter. And then they also use antibiotics, which will weaken the original genes so that the new genes can dominate. So as you can see, there's a lot of problems going on. You have viruses, you have bacteria, and you have antibiotics. It's like a mix of trouble.
Right, and a lot of stuff that people are either allergic to or really looking to not have in their foods. And I want to just add to what you were talking about. Over historically, there was always selective breeding, whether it was with animals and with you know, plant products or food products, but it depended on nature,
right,
to produce the selected desired gene. And that, you know, they didn't use, like what you were saying, Marilyn, they didn't use these viruses that, who know, or these bacteria, who knows how harmful they are. They didn't use the antibiotics, and we know a lot of the problems that those are causing in people's systems. So it was a very natural process. But what's happening here, as you mentioned, is it's being speeded up because they're doing it in the laboratory, and they're injecting, like you said, these plants and foods and whatever with things that we have no idea what's going on. And I just wanted to add, because I have a friend who was doing a lot of research on it, and you and I talked about it earlier, and she was reading a book that also said that not only are these foods, these genetically engineered foods, being changed by the viruses and the bacteria and the antibiotics, but what's happening is that they're morphing. So even though we think what's happening in the first generation of this, they keep continuing to shift and to change, and we don't know what's in them.
Right, and I think a lot of people don't recognize that this is really faulty science. They call it a technology, but actually that's a misnomer, because the process is so unreliable and unpredictable. They think that they're creating one thing, but it is changing. It's constantly changing. And so even if they do research on one thing now, like you said, it could morph into something completely different. The real problem is that the body cannot recognize some of these things as food. And so we are having a lot of these problems like allergies and unexplained illnesses. And, you know, people say, well, we don't know why. Well, we only have to look far enough to say, you know, when you're changing things so drastically, something's got to give.
Right. You know, and recently, over the last year or so, I've had some digestive issues and whatever, and I decided to delve into more of this, because health is like paramount in my life, and I believe in everybody else's life. You can't function without having a healthy system. And so I actually have shifted a lot of my foods, and a lot of foods that I believe are genetically engineered and went gluten-free, and I feel 100% better. Mm-hmm. Now, not everybody has the knowledge or the wherewithal, the understanding, which is one of the reasons we're doing this show today, to really educate people. So firstly, why don't people know about these, and how long has this been going on, Marilyn?
Well, this pretty much started back in 1996, So it's been going on for quite a while, and I think we're starting to see some of the results of having it long term. There hasn't been any real testing done on this. Basically, when the FDA was asked to look at genetically engineered food, it was at a time where the government kind of really wanted to push a new technology. They wanted to push the business. And when the FDA scientists said, you know, we have to slow down on this. We don't have enough information. We need to take a little deeper look. We're talking about people's health, and we don't know what the repercussions will be. They were actually overridden by some of the top brass at the FDA. So what had happened is they actually passed this, and that's how the biotech companies really got started in this field. They just pushed it right through because they considered what they called substantially equivalent. Now, what that means in general terms is that spares the companies from safety testing. Because if you look at a genetically modified zucchini and you look at a regular zucchini and you maybe test a couple different aspects of it, it looks essentially the same. But there are so many aspects of our food, you can't really test them all, and they really need long-range studies in order to see how safe the food is.
You know, they say that the benefits of genetically engineered food include that they're tastier, that it's a decreased use of pesticides, that there are faster growing plants and animals, and all this seems to me like it's you know, I'm seeing dollar signs here, that it's foods with more desirable traits such as potatoes that absorb less fat when fried, and that the increased supply of food reduces cost and a longer shelf life. So I think that you know, I'm not sure that they're thinking about our health as much as about really finances and maybe tasting a little bit better and maybe addressing people's desire to be thin. But I'm not sure that it's really addressing, like what you're talking about, the harmful effects and also the harmful effects over time. I just want to make an announcement here, folks. We're talking to Marilyn Eppolite, and we're talking about the danger in our foods from genetically engineered foods and genetically engineered processing. And our call-in number, if you'd like to pose a question to my guest, is 805-285-9790. That's 805-285-9790. So how come we're not warned about all these risks? I know that what I mentioned earlier, in Europe, they're actually labeling the foods. And so when you go buy a food, you know and you have a choice at the market whether it's genetically engineered or not. But why aren't we doing it?
Well, I think especially like the reason that I said about the FDA, you know, allowing the foods to be on the market, there just wasn't enough oversight. And, you know, you have to stop and think about what this genetic modification means. They're talking about something that has a patent. Now, just the fact of applying for a patent says this is completely different. And if you're saying it's substantially equivalent, but yet you have a patent on it, it doesn't compute. So, you know, you would think that if it was this great, and, you know, we'll go back to the companies and they say how altruistic they are because they want to feed the world at a cheaper cost and they want to have plants that are resistant to pests and increase yields and nutrition. They're all wonderful ideas, but we don't really know if that's true. I mean, on some of the tests that they've done, they've actually had the ability to increase yields, maybe the first year. But the fallout from year after year of planting these crops has been so grave. They've had less production. The soil has been depleted. You know, so there's all kinds of environmental issues as well as health issues. So I think that the biotech companies have had a wonderful lobbying system and have really spent a lot of money to not label it. But when you really stop and think, if you have this thing that is patented and it's supposed to be the best thing since sliced bread, wouldn't you want to scream about it?
Sure.
You know, so they know on some level that people don't want this. And so that's why they have been fighting the labeling. You know, people do want to know what they're eating. And if you don't have labeling, they can't make a choice. So the companies are afraid that, oh, everybody's going to overreact. And, you know, basically some people from a true gut feeling are going to say, this doesn't feel right to me.
Right. You know, I think that consumers now want to be more knowledgeable, they're more savvy, and like you said, they really want to know what's going on and what's in their foods. What kind of, when we're talking about foods, what are some of the foods, Marilyn, that are really affected by this genetic engineering process?
All right, there are a lot of them, but the four big ones are in almost every processed food you can think of. You're talking soy, corn, canola, and cottonseed. So you're saying, well, who eats cottonseed? But you have to talk about the oils that are made from all these. They utilize these things as stabilizers, and it's amazing. I'd say about 80% of your processed food has some sort of genetically engineered food in it. That's a huge amount of food.
You know, I've also seen that in terms of dairy, the cows are also now injected with these genetically engineered hormones, and they may even be eating the grains that are
genetically engineered,
and also sugar, because in 2012 the FDA approved GMO beet sugars, and now it's sold as sugar, and if I don't know what the percentage is, but in the United States alone we ingest, unfortunately, a lot of sugar, and we're really ingesting genetically engineered sugar.
It's everywhere, and so you bring up another point, and so you have another couple of vegetables that are high on this list, and that is sugar beets. Almost 90% of Hawaiian papaya is genetic.
Oh, and I love papaya.
Well, if it's Hawaiian, you're going to know that, you know, they've had a big uproar in Hawaii because of this huge takeover. There's some small amounts of zucchini and yellow squash that are also genetically modified. And so the best way of avoiding them is, especially for those things, is eating organic if possible. Sometimes that is challenging because they might not be available in your area. But that right now, since we don't have labeling, that's the only thing we have. The other thing is trying to avoid processed foods.
You know, for many people, though, buying organic is a little bit prohibitive because of the expense. And so is that the only way out of this right now?
Well, until we have labeling, or unless you trust and know your local farmer, there's no other way to tell. The foods look the same. So what other option do we have? You know, and I agree with you, not everyone can get organic foods. So this is part of the problem. And one of the reasons that I became an activist is because before I would grow a lot of my food, or I would try and eat organic, or I would try and know my farmer to, you know, safeguard my health, because that's very important to me. But, you know, not everyone has that opportunity to do that. And so that, I used to feel, all right, well, I'm eating what I need to eat and let everybody else worry about it themselves. But the problem has gotten so big, and the fact that all this genetic material is cross-pollinating with all our heritage seeds and all our organic food, I was forced into speaking up, because we won't even have organic food because of the proliferation of the pollen from the GM plants.
So let's say you're a farmer, okay? Let's say you're a farmer and you're growing all organically grown products. You're being careful about the pesticides. You're not using antibiotics or other kinds of hormones, and you're certainly not doing anything to mess with the with the foods in terms of engineering them, and in terms of the feed, even what you're feeding your animals, and let's say Farmer Jake next door to you is using genetically engineered all sorts of stuff, from corn to soy to even to the cows that he's breeding or whatever. What you're saying is that your farm animals, and everything that you're growing, Marilyn, is being contaminated by Farmer Jake's supply.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So you're,
and
so
also,
why is one minute? Because I'm getting upset about this. Why is Whole Foods, which you know I shop a lot and I trust them, why are they waiting to 2018? Why are we giving five more years of this to kind of take hold with and not be controlled? When there's an urgency, at least when you're talking about it, how I see it, the urgency is now.
Well, I can't really answer for them, but I just know that, you know, big food producers have a lot of say in what's going on in our food supply. And I think it's wonderful that they did step forward and at least draw the line in the sand. I, too, feel that it's taking too long, but I have to at least give them credit because they are moving this forward.
Oh,
it
I totally
is addressing,
agree.
Right, it is addressing the issue. And actually, I think what might happen is that some law will be passed in one of these states soon before
California.
That 5 year. That went downhill. That did not pass.
Oh, okay.
There was a lot of lobbying against it. There were a lot of lies from the biotech companies, from the food manufacturers, to say that it would escalate the cost of food. I mean, every so often they have to change. The food manufacturers have to change their packaging. And I'm just talking about processed food now. I'm not talking about produce per se, but they have to put the trans fats, you know, remember when they had to put the calories and all the ingredients?
Right.
I mean, you know, there have been a lot of changes in how we package food. Now, is it going to cost a little bit more for the produce? I would say so, because, you know, any time they put regulations on things, it will have to change the way you do business. Just to go back a little bit, you were talking about contamination. Imagine that you take your corn, your GM corn, to the processor, and you have these machines that are taking the corn and preparing it. Well, guess what? There may be, the next day, maybe organic corn coming in. Do you think that there's going to be some fallout in that machine?
Well, sure, so if they're not really taking care of cleaning it properly or there's some residue or whatever, yeah.
Right. So these are some of the problems that are you know, really accelerating this problem, that every part of the process has to be checked into. And, you know, unfortunately, it has to be done. You know, in my thinking, we shouldn't be growing GM stuff anyway, but that's my personal opinion. That's like my gut reaction because, you know, who knows what the real truth is because we don't really have any research on a long-term basis. I mean, I could guess that that's not good for us, but, you know, for people that want some kind of scientific research on this, we don't have it. So it is causing some problems. So labeling right now is the best we could do.
Now, is there research underway to kind of test what's going on with this? Since you said it's been going on for about 15 years or so. I mean, are people being monitored, or are we looking at an increase in allergies? Is anybody stepping up to do some of the research that you're aware of?
Well, the problem with all of this is that the seeds are patented, and they have all types of proprietary rights which restrict research. The companies are really about the only ones that are doing research, and their studies usually are short-term, say, for example, about 3 months. From what I gather from the information that I've read is that the real problems can start after 4 months. And so long-term studies up to a year, 2 years, would really give us the necessary information that we need. As far as who is looking into this, the American Academy of Environmental Medicine has stated that it's a problem for, you know, they're recommending that doctors tell their patients to avoid GM foods because from the animal studies that they've seen that there are various health risks. And we're talking about things like problems with insulin. Like, does this country have a problem with insulin? Yeah. you know, changes in your digestive organs. They've been having all the gastrointestinal systems are showing problems. Allergies, immune dysfunction, infertility, aging, cholesterol problems. I mean, these are some of the things that this country has struggled with. So, you know, when you're talking about sugar and corn, those are two that are in practically everything you buy that's processed. You're getting a little bit of this in all of your processed foods. So the weight of all of this food is really taking its toll.
Well, how is it affecting children, do you know?
Well, I think that because they're much more sensitive, they could be affected way before adults. Their immune systems are not as strong as ours yet. You know, some people seem to think that for whatever reason, many reasons, environmental reasons, food reasons, that the children's immune systems are weaker today than they were years ago. So, you know, when you're talking about sensitivities, they're going to show up the sensitivities. And since the GM process is kind of an allergic reaction anyway, they have these effects where it's almost as if the body is saying, I do not recognize you as food. The children are much more sensitive to it. So they're going to respond faster.
You know, I'm also thinking that our pets, because many of our pets are not getting organically grown food,
mm-hmm.
and my cat won't even eat it, even
mm-hmm.
unfortunately, even though I've tried. But so they're also, their immune systems and their other systems are affected as well, right? Isn't
absolutely.
That so?
Absolutely.
Okay. So let's, you know, we're talking about some of the problems. What can people do? How can they help? What can they do to help stop this growing, I'm going to call it an epidemic, because, again,
mm-hmm.
when we're talking about the fact that it is out of control and it can actually affect even the foods that are organically grown that are not genetically engineered, we're talking about something that keeps expanding and is beyond our control if we let it. So what can people do to stop these genetically engineered foods and sort of help make a difference for themselves and also for all of us?
Well, I think the first thing they have to do is pull the money plug on the foods. Because if they are making better choices, if they know what to look for in their foods, they can say, that looks genetically modified, I'm not going to buy that. If the companies, the food processors, start to recognize that they are losing money, something will have to shift.
Okay, but let's
just, it takes a lot of energy to do this because
right, but
we don't have the labeling.
Right, without the labeling, you and I go to a supermarket that we like other than Whole Foods, and we both probably go to Whole Foods, but you and I go to a supermarket, and you're saying to take a look at the food, like I'm looking at the corn or whatever. How am I going to recognize if there isn't a label that this is different from corn that's not genetically engineered?
You can't.
So I'm not going to know that just from glancing at it.
No.
Or from and nobody in the supermarket is going to be knowledgeable enough to tell me, so I'm not going to know.
You won't know. And this has been the problem. Like I said, if you're forced into eating things that are organic without this labeling, there is really no way of knowing. It's a big problem.
It is a big problem. Okay, so what do people need to do? Do they need to write to their representatives? Do they need to contact you or their local groups in different communities? Because this program goes all around the country and beyond. Where do people get more information, and how do people kind of sign up and raise their voices to say, no, you know, we want more information, we want more labeling, we want to be informed, and we want to know what we're eating.
Well, I think the big thing right now is that New Jersey and actually other states have bills in their state houses to label genetically engineered foods. In New Jersey, in the assembly, the bill is A3192, and in the New Jersey Senate, it's 1367. And basically, from what I gather, is that this vote is going to be coming up in May. I did go to the State House last month when they had announced that they were taking testimony about genetically engineered food. And I had spoken to a couple of doctors that gave me the okay to use their names in my testimony, because I felt that was really important. This testimony was to be given at the Senate Health Committee. So there were people there that are really interested in health. You know, it was a very short meeting because there were so many other bills that they were talking about, but I had typed up this information and, you know, left it for them to read at a later date. We need to make our voices heard. I felt really compelled to go there that day. We need to let our legislators know. And actually, some of the legislators are saying that they would appreciate if you called them and made an appointment with a group of people to come in and discuss this with them.
So is that something that you're organizing, at least in New Jersey? I'm putting that on you.
Basically, I'm not. As far as GMO-free New Jersey, who does have regular meetings once a month on the third Thursday of the month in Collingswood, at the Collingswood Library, they have been very proactive about getting people out to some of these functions, you know, suggesting that they call the representatives and talk to them. Actually, at the meeting this coming month, on the 18th, they are showing the film Genetic Roulette, The Gamble of Our Lives, which is Jeffrey Smith's documentary film. I had studied with Jeffrey, and he's been out there for years telling people about the dangers of GMOs. So there are groups in the area that, you know, you can show up at their meetings. You can go online and find out more information. Actually, Jeffrey is going to be in Cherry Hill this month on April 21st. He's going to be speaking at Wellness 2013. So, you know, people would have an opportunity to see what's going on around the country, because he's speaking a lot in this area and going into Pennsylvania and New York, because there's a lot of legislated bills that are coming forward.
Well, Marilyn, I think this is such a very important topic, and really, like you said, really timely because of all the legislation. So I'm really glad that you've been able. You seem very engaged and involved in this, and you're a great advocate. And so, how can people reach you and get more information about you and what you do?
Well, they can go on my website, and it's Marilyn Epilyn, and of course I'll have to spell that, MarilynEppolite .abmp.com. And on there, there's my email if you need to get in touch with me. For anyone that is interested, if you email me, I can send you the list of ways that you can get involved, some of the activities that are going on this month for Earth Day from some of the speakers. I'll send you all that information. There's too many things to even announce. So, but if you are interested in getting more involved, I will send you that information. So all you have to do is just email me.
So we have about a minute or so left, and you and I were talking about spiritual activism. So can you just define that a little bit, because I know that's what you do, and when you and I were talking about it, it says, yeah, I'm interested in that. That's what I do too, even with this show a little bit. So what is it? And define it to people.
Yeah, I think what happens is when people are in doing this activism, they tend to, you know, first they're very excited, but then they see nothing moving in the right direction and they get discouraged. So what I found, not only in myself, but with other people, is that you want to give up. You just feel like you're fighting too hard. You just want to go to sleep. You want to numb out. You don't want to worry about it anymore. And what you find out is that you can't do it. I mean, you try, but you have to come back again. You know, it's almost like you're confronting your shadow self, all those hidden places that cause trouble when they're unacknowledged. You know, you have to come back out of it and say, you know, I need to speak up. I need to feel my healthy assertion to speak my truth and to make my desires be known as far as this food or whatever activism is.
You know, I think that's really important, and we're going to need to end here a little bit because I think what you said is like it's about recognizing that whatever cause or that you're very engaged in, rather than giving up, but you can't, because it's about your values and beliefs that affect you at your very core. And how could you disregard that? I mean, if you do that, you're just not paying attention to the real aspect, like you said, your truth of yourself. So Marilyn, you've been a wonderful guest, and you have so much wonderful information. And I'd love to have you on again, because I'm sure that we're going to be talking about this for a long time, and maybe we can have you on again and talk about some of the changes, the positive changes that are coming about because of people like you and people like Jeffrey and other people who are standing up and speaking out and making us aware of the choices that we do have to take charge of our lives. Thank you so very, very much.
Well, thank you.
And have a blessed day.
You too.
Thanks. And folks, next week we have actually Power Your Life is going to be on both on Tuesday to bring somebody who's been on before, but there was something a little bit wrong with the show, so we loved her, and the audience really loved her, and that's Sandra D. Robinson, and she's talking about on-camera impact and not only creating a brand that sells, but also about getting in touch with your passion and your voice and really being able to make a difference in your life and in the lives of others. And that's on Tuesday at noon Eastern Time, same time as we do our Wednesday show. And on Wednesday, we're also going to have another guest, Marnie Swedberg, who's going to talk about time management strategies of Olympians, presidents, and CEOs. So I want you to stay tuned both times. If you want to reach me, you can go to my website, docwhite.org, and certainly come join our show and be a listener. We'd love to hear from you. And as always, it's a pleasure to be with you, and thank you so much for sharing your day with us. Have a great day and a fantastic week. And as Marilyn was talking about, it's really important to take a look at what you're putting in your body to make sure that you're taking charge of you and your lives, and to speak up about it, because your voice counts and you make a difference. Thanks again.
Been listening to the Power Your Life radio show with your host and author, Dr. Joanne White. Listen often and spread the word about the Upbeat Show to grow your life in the direction you desire. Listen again and again by visiting divatoolbox.com and blogtalkradio.com. Thank you for sharing your day with us, and stay tuned for more exciting guests and events to come.